go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. In this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
Can you learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org?
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome our listeners joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at sacred scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
Well, this week and over the next 3 weeks, we want to focus on renewal that comes to us through the Advent and Christmas season. And we believe as we engage the Lord Jesus through and during these powerful seasons in the liturgical calendar, it's going to cause us as individuals, our families, and our parishes to really draw closer to the Lord and His church. So Peter, where do we begin as we engage these special seasons?
Well, Leslie, a great place to begin is talking about living by the liturgical calendar and marking time through the liturgical seasons, which is a great gift the Catholic faith offers to each one of us. So let's begin by thinking about the concept of time. There are two Greek words used in the scripture for time that's really helpful for us today. First of all, the Greek word chronos, which means time in general, especially viewed in a succession of moments, time and duration in the physical space world. It especially expresses time quantitatively, and we get our word chronological from that Greek word. The second Greek word for time is kairos, that's used in the scripture, and that means time as an opportunity, a favorable moment, a season, a time when things are brought to a crisis. It's used in Mark 13:33, where Jesus said, "Take heed, for you do not know when the time, that is kairos, will come." Jesus is talking about his visible return to the earth. Per our discussions during this time, this word is used to refer to stated seasons and can be found used in the Old Testament in the Greek form of the Old Testament to talk about the Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a divine arrangement of time adjusted to the economy of salvation. So I say all that, Leslie, the liturgical calendar allows us as Catholic Christians, and this is the beauty of it, to get a taste of what I call God's time, as well as to separate ourselves from the secular forces that focus purely on, quote, the here and now.
Well, when we were preparing for our broadcast today, Peter, I realized the liturgical calendar is one of the things that drew us back to the Catholic Church.
Yes.
And even as you were serving as an evangelical pastor and we were raising our family, we knew how important it was to set aside different seasons of the year. And we weren't really finding that in our context at that time.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But Advent became a very special time for us, and it was a time to prepare for the coming of the Lord at Christmas. So we initiated the lighting of an Advent wreath at our church, which was really kind of unheard of.
Yep.
And in our home, we also had an Advent wreath, and we'd light our candles, and we'd do our daily readings with the children.
Right. And so I think some background here, Leslie, would be helpful on the structure and the essentials to the liturgical calendar. And this comes from the website of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. You can access this by going to the USCCB.org/liturgical calendar to see what we're talking about right now. The profound meaning, it says, of the liturgical celebrations of the Church and their organization. The Holy Church celebrates the saving work of Christ on prescribed days in the course of the year with sacred remembrance. Each week, on the day called the Lord's Day, she commemorates the resurrection of the Lord, which she also celebrates once a year in the great Paschal solemnity, together with his blessed passion. It goes on to say, in fact, throughout the course of the year, the Church unfolds the entire mystery of Christ and observes the birthdays of the saints. That's the liturgical calendar, Leslie.
So in essence, the liturgical calendar is to celebrate the saving work of Christ on prescribed days with mm-hmm. sacred remembrance.
Right.
I love that. Mm-hmm. We see that this has always been the way God has led and renewed his people, going back to his instructions to the Jewish people regarding Passover, because God wanted his people to remember what he had done. Mm-hmm. He knew that one of our human weaknesses is to forget what he's done for us. So Peter, what is our liturgical made up of? Why don't you just walk us through some of the different seasons?
Well, the liturgical year is made up of six seasons. And interesting, when I led the RCIA in a parish, Leslie, many of the Catholic sponsors weren't even aware of how many seasons there are. So I think that this is really elemental, but it's important for us to realize those six seasons. First of all, of course, there's Advent, which is 4 weeks of preparation before the celebration of Jesus' birth. Secondly, there's the Christmas season, which recalls the nativity of Jesus Christ and his manifestation to the peoples of the world. And this lasts up to the baptism of the Lord. The third season is Lent, and that's that six-week period of penance before Easter. Fourthly, there's the sacred Paschal Triduum. And that's interesting, Leslie. This is considered a season, but it's only 3 days of the church year, where Christian people recall the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Then, of course, fifthly, there's the Easter season, which is 50 days of joyful celebration of the Lord's resurrection from the dead and his sending forth of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, although there's two parts of this, it's only one season, and that's called ordinary time. That's divided into two sections, one span after Christmas time and another time lasting 6 months after Easter time, where the faithful consider the fullness of the Lord's teachings and the works among his people. So the mystery of Christ unfolded through the cycle of the year, Leslie, calls us to live his mystery in our own lives.
Well, I really love, Peter, that we're actually called to live and experience the mystery throughout the year by engaging in liturgical seasons. Mm-hmm. And why don't you just talk to us now about the liturgical year and how it's structured and how it includes special feast days and celebrations of the saints?
Right. Well, first of all, of course, Advent is considered the beginning of the liturgical year. It's kind of like the church's new year. The Second Vatican Council brought renewed emphasis to Sunday, which is very important as a unique liturgical category. They said the Lord's Day is the original feast day. Remember, St. John said that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And then there's, of course, saints and other celebrations. And then holy days of obligation are days when the faithful are obliged to participate in Mass and abstain from unnecessary work. Finally, there's other days of prayer and special occasions, like, for instance, special masses on Thanksgiving.
Well, Peter, I think it's really helpful to see that through the church, the Lord gives each of us the ability to live not just in a day-to-day chronological routine of time,
right. But
through the liturgical calendar, we can live in the context of salvation history. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we will begin to share about the history of the season of Advent and how the church came to give us this wonderful season. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Do you like game shows? How about trivia? You're listening to Catholic Radio, so I assume you're interested in the Catholic Church. Catholic Challenge 2.0 is the newest addition to our programming lineup here on Catholic Radio Indy. A 30-minute quiz show covering almost everything Catholic. Catholic Challenge 2.0 tests your knowledge and teaches at the same time. Check it out every Thursday afternoon at 4:30 right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we are discussing the importance of the liturgical calendar and how it leads us out of a secular view of time, which is living in the here and now, and into God's view of time. All of this leads us into this first season of the liturgical year, Advent. Peter, a great place to begin today is for us to share the history and background of the season of Advent. Yes, so where should we begin?
As you say, Leslie, let's learn about the history of the season of Advent. So this liturgical season marks the time of spiritual preparation by the faithful before Christmas. Advent begins on the Sunday closest to the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle, which is on November 30. It spans 4 Sundays and 4 weeks of preparation, although the last week of Advent is many times shortened because of the Christmas falls. In fact, this year, Leslie, Advent, the fourth Sunday of Advent, is also Christmas Eve. The celebration of Advent has evolved over time, though, in the life of the church. In its earliest form, interestingly enough, beginning in France, Advent was a period of preparation for the Feast of Epiphany, which converts were baptized. So the Advent preparation was very similar to Lent, with an emphasis on prayer and fasting. Then way back in 380 AD, the Council of Saragossa in Spain established a 3-week fast before the Epiphany. Eventually, similar practices also spread to England, and then finally in Rome, the Advent preparation did not appear until the 6th century AD and was viewed as a preparation for Christmas with a less focus on penance that was focused on in earlier times. The church gradually formalized the celebration of Advent as a period of spiritual preparation for Christmas. Now, the great Pope St. Gregory the Great enhanced Advent liturgies, which is really interesting, composing prayers and antiphons, readings, and responses. Finally, about the 9th century, the church designated the first Sunday of Advent as the beginning of the church year. So that's kind of a brief overview of the beginnings of Advent.
Yeah, it really was an evolution, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so Peter, this is something also that we've discovered. It's really amazing to see how currently many non-Catholic ministries and communities are also beginning to celebrate the season of Advent.
I've really seen the growth of that in the last 10 years. It's amazing.
I know. Well, in a popular evangelical magazine, there was a writer who commented on how evangelical and non-denominational churches need Advent to combat the secular focus of the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Let me just read what he said, because I think it's very, very important. He said, "Some think Advent is just for liturgical churches, yet more and more evangelical and non-denominational churches are adding elements of Advent into their worship services to bring pause and intentionality into this season leading up to the birth of Christ." Boy, we all need that.
Right.
The writer went on to say, "In our current culture of overwhelming holiday stress and consumerism, I'm not surprised that more people are exploring the concept of Advent. It's an intentional way to slow down the train and put Jesus back into the season." I love that.
Yes, and boy, we need that. It seems every year more than ever.
Well, Peter, why don't you help us put Jesus back into the season?
So despite the evolving history of Advent that we spoke about, the importance of this season remains to focus on the coming of the Lord. The word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, meaning coming. And the Catechism instructs us about this, Leslie. It stresses the twofold meaning of this word coming. It says, "When the church celebrates the liturgy of Advent each year, she makes present this ancient expectancy of the Messiah. For by sharing in the long preparation of the Savior's first coming, the faithful renew," I love this, "their ardent desire for his second coming." That's in paragraph 520. 24 in the Catechism. So therefore, on one hand, we can see the faithful reflect back and are encouraged to celebrate the anniversary of the Lord's first coming into this world, right?
That's Christmas.
Yes. But we also ponder again the great mystery, the incarnation, when our Lord humbled himself, taking on humanity, and entered into time and space to free us all from sin. Then on the other hand, as the Catechism points out, we recall in the Creed that our Lord will come again and judge the living and the dead, and that we must be ready to meet him.
That's his second coming.
Yes. So, Leslie, how do you think we can begin practically to observe the Lenten season in our own homes?
Well, I think a perfect way to help us in our Advent preparation is to simply incorporate the use of the Advent wreath with our families. It's so simple, but it's so rich in symbolism. And I personally, Peter, needed a refresher on what the symbols mean. So I appreciated that in our preparation. Could you walk us through what each of the elements of the Advent wreath mean?
Yes, of course. So obviously, the wreath is a circle which has no beginning or end. And this refers back to that Greek word kairo, Leslie, that we're talking about. So we call to mind how our lives here and now are participating in the eternity of God's plan of salvation, and how we hope to share that eternal life into the kingdom of heaven. Again, we refer to that as God's time. The wreath is made up of fresh plant material.
Usually pine.
Right, because Christ came to give us new life through his passion, death, and resurrection. Also, there's three candles that are purple, and they symbolize the penance, preparation, and sacrifice that we look towards as we celebrate Advent. The pink candle symbolizes the same, but highlights that third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday, when we rejoice, Gaudete meaning rejoice, because our preparation is now halfway finished. Then, of course, the light that represents Christ who entered into this world. I love this, Leslie. We're reminded that he scattered the darkness of evil and showed us the way to righteousness. That progression of lighting those candles shows us our increasing readiness to go out and meet the Lord.
Okay, each family really ought to have an Advent wreath and really take time to explain the symbolism behind each of the parts of the wreath to their family. And it's best to light it at dinner time, say some special prayers, or read an Advent meditation. And this tradition will help our families keep its focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And this is what we did as our family was growing up, and we're still doing today.
Yes.
And there's so many resources available now that our listeners can access on the web that have age-appropriate readings for you and your family. I know sometimes they even give them out at church.
Yeah, a lot of the local parishes now give prayers for the Advent time.
And the focus is truly to be renewing our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Peter, later you're going to pray a special prayer for us that we say in Mass. Mm-hmm. So listeners, we're going to pause now again and take another break. And when we return, we'll discuss the theology of Advent and how Pope Benedict XVI articulates this theology for the celebration of Advent.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
For a long time, we've been telling you that if you have an Echo Dot or other smart speaker device, you can hear Catholic Radio Indy simply by saying, "Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy." Just the other day, I did that, and Alexa was feeling a bit argumentative. I'll let you hear my conversation with her. Alexa, where are you?
Here I am. What do you want?
Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Now, just why would you want me to do that?
Well, because we've got great programming 24 hours a day.
Well, a lot of other radio stations have good programs, too.
Yeah, but our programming talks about God and eternal salvation.
I am very smart. I know almost everything about everything, but I do not know about God and salvation.
Well, that's why people need Catholic Radio Indy. So, Alexa, do me a favor. Whenever anyone says, "Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy," just send them our way, would you?
Yes, I will be happy to do that. In the meantime, I am going to do some research about that thing you called salvation. I wonder where I can find out more about that.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and we're learning that the heart of God is to rebuild that which has fallen into ruin in our church and renewing the liturgical seasons, and our participation in those seasons allows us, as Jesus said in John 17, 14 through 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, Peter, we have more to learn about the why behind Advent from Pope Benedict XVI. We've already discussed the history of the Advent season, but why don't you take us into some of Pope Benedict's theology, which I think is really, really fabulous.
Right. I think it's really good and important to understand that there is indeed a theology behind our celebration of Advent. And this comes to us when Pope Benedict gave a homily in November of 2009. And I want to take some excerpts from that, Leslie, because it really helps us enter into Advent more in a more powerful fashion. He said, "With this celebration, we're entering the liturgical season of Advent. In the biblical reading we just heard," and they read a scripture taken from the first letter to the Thessalonians, "the Apostle Paul invites us to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. "With God's grace, keeping ourselves blameless." The exact word Paul uses there, the Pope said, is the word coming, is the Latin word adventus, from which the term Advent derives.
Well, Peter, I so appreciate this portion of sacred scripture that Pope Benedict pointed out. That one verse somewhat captures what Advent is all about, preparing for the coming of the Lord. So it is more than just looking forward to Christmas, although that's certainly part of Advent. It's preparing our hearts for His coming to us personally.
Yes. So we know that Pope Benedict was a master teacher of the Word, and he really opens up the scripture for us here. Listen as we continue to go through what he said about Advent. "Let us reflect briefly on the meaning of this word, which can be rendered with presence, or revival, arrival, or coming. In the language of the ancient world, it was a technical term used to indicate," and I love this, "the arrival of an official or the visit of the king or emperor to a province. However," he said, "it could also mean the coming of the divinity that emerges from concealment to manifest himself forcefully, or that was celebrated as being present in worship." He went on to say, "Christians use the word Advent to express their relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the King." And look, I like the way he just unfolded this, Leslie. He said, "Jesus was the King who entered this poor province called Earth to pay everyone a visit. He makes all those who believe in him participate in his coming," all who believe in his presence in the liturgical assembly. "The essential meaning," he said, "of the word Adventus was," and this is beautiful, "God is here. He's not withdrawn from the world. He has not deserted us." We thank the Lord for that. Finally, he said, "Even if we cannot see and touch him as we can tangible realities, he is here and comes to visit us in many ways." And of course, we know one of those many ways is the Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our worship.
Well, I think, Peter, we can so easily take for granted, and I know I do, that the King of the universe chose to enter our world to visit us. And the season of Advent should make all of us stop and think about the significance of his coming.
Now, the Pope went on and gave a powerful overview that can be a reflection for all of us this Advent, and I want to share some of it with us today. "The meaning of the expression Advent, therefore, includes that of visitatio, which simply and specifically means visit. In this case, it is a question of a visit from God. He enters my life and wishes to speak to me." That's so wonderful.
And that's really what encounter is all about.
Yes.
Encountering Jesus, allowing him to enter our lives and speak to us.
He says, "In our daily lives, we all experience having little time for the Lord and also little time for ourselves." Boy, that is true. We end up being absorbed in doing. Is it not true that activities often absorb and that society with its multiple interests monopolizes our attention? That is for sure as well. He goes on to say, is it not true that we devote a lot of time, and we do this, Leslie, to entertainment and to various kinds of amusement? At times, he said, we get carried away. Advent, this powerful and liturgical season that we are beginning, he said, invites us to pause in silence and to understand a presence, that is the presence of the Lord. He finally says, Advent invites and stimulates us to contemplate that the Lord is present.
Boy, does Pope Benedict ever hit the nail on the head. Deals and shopping are promoted earlier and earlier each year, giving us little time for the Lord. We become absorbed in Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales, and more opportunities for entertainment are being offered throughout the season. I'm constantly hearing about concerts and light shows and festivals, you name it. The choices are abundant, and we can get carried away and really not take time to encounter Jesus. So, Peter, why don't you summarize for us the key takeaways from this wonderful homily that Pope Benedict left us with.
Yes, so to sum up the Pope on these this Advent theology, Leslie, number one, Advent helps us prepare for the coming of Jesus, both his first and second coming. Secondly, the word Advent also means the arrival of a king who rules over his subjects. He has not withdrawn from us or deserted us. Thirdly, Advent also implies that God is here to visit us now. He wishes to enter our lives and visit with us. And then finally and lastly, the Pope tells us to live above the entertainment and amusement of the Christmas season and keep the eternal journal of love in this world.
Okay, Peter, so I think you should pray for us, that beautiful Advent prayer that comes from the Mass.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, increase our longing for Christ our Savior, and give us the strength to grow in love, that the dawn of his coming may find us rejoicing in his presence and welcoming the light of his truth. Father, we pray this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to help renew the church as individuals, our families, and our parishes. And please become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. And goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.